everyone, we're the Buckleys.
And you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
Yeehaw.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Everybody, welcome back. Happy, I don't know what this is. This will probably be a Thursday or something like that when it comes out. Or Monday, I'm not sure. Or maybe you're just downloading on your Saturday morning. But either way, I am Scott. That is Mike. Hello and welcome back, or welcome to Verbal Shenanigans. Either one. Mike, how are you?
We're still existing.
Yeah.
I guess that's the best way to put it nowadays, Scott. It's, still legally life, and we're technically living it. I guess that's the only way to really say that's what this is all about.
You had a hard time with that sentence.
Yeah.
It's like you got trapped at legally life.
I was trying to get philosophical and everything, and it's like, you know what? No. We're all hanging in our houses 95% of the time, so you get what I give you.
Anyway, guys, welcome to Verbal Shenanigans, if you are just tuning in. We are a weekly podcast. Been doing 2 a week lately, just because there's really nothing else to do. What else are we supposed to do? It's either talk to our wives or talk to each other and some interesting people, so we chose the latter. Haven't talked to my wife in 72 days of quarantine, so, you know. She's still,
yep,
she's
my
still
wife
waiting downstairs.
Yells at me from the upstairs as I podcast and then texts me stuff. So
right. So yeah, dude, I woke up from we were supposed to have an interview like 4 minutes ago, but we're starting a little, I guess, earlier than normal. And I'm not a big napper, and I just woke up from like a nuclear winter sleep. Like I was like woke up, laid down. I went on a long bike ride, ate lunch, and then it was like, I'll just kind of lay down here, listen to something on the phone, and fell asleep probably around 3:45, 4, and I just woke up at 6:45, like completely dazed. And I was like, it's probably like 5:15, 5:20, something like that. Well, get up, eat something, podcast. And it was 6:45. I woke up, had no clue where I was. It was like I have not had a deep bear sleep like that in a long time.
Now, have you been struggling with regular sleep that led to this nap, or was just one of those, this feels good, let me close my eyes kind of nap?
I'm not a great sleeper to begin with. I'm kind of always tossing and turning and rolling around, and so could be a combination. I had just gone for a pretty long bike ride where I got poured on, and I also, as I was going up a hill, I went to like lean forward to stand up, and my chain fell off the bike, and I pushed forward, and I like slammed my finger into the brakes and hit my balls on the bar that's underneath the seat. It was great. I don't know what that has to do with my nap, but I'm just trying.
Yeah, I was about to say, that sounds like it would wake you up more than anything. That doesn't seem like after that happens, you go, let me take a couple Z's.
That's actually how I go to sleep, Mike. Like if I can't sleep, I take the bike out, I wait till the chain pops off, and I hit my balls, and I'm like, I'm sleepy, and I go right back to bed.
Man, I worry if that baby comes out a girl, and it's like, she got no balls. I don't know how we're gonna get her to sleep. That's why she's crying all night. I put her on her little tricycle, there's nothing there to bang into.
or if it's a boy, like I'm going to put the kid to bed and Alex walks in and I'm like ready to smack his balls before he goes to sleep.
Honey, Child Services is here. Oh, hey! Well, Scotty Jr. needs a couple Z's. Don't worry about me.
But
don't mind this wily coyote set up in the background next to his crib.
But all right, I'm awake. I'm back. I'm here. I'm present. I'm with it. What do you got, Berlo?
Well, I'm gonna push forward with your story a little bit. Just out of curiosity, you talk about you're not a huge napper.
No.
Now, do you have a family member that?
Yeah, I have
always wake you up when you fall a nap.
Yeah, it's my wife. It's sometimes like if I do like. You know, say I do start zoning off. Sometimes she'll be like, tap, 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 babe, you sleeping over there? I'm like, well, I was. And sometimes I'll be like real grumpy about it because I don't nap very often. She'll be like, are you awake? I'm like, well, now I am because I'm such a light sleeper to begin with.
Yeah, my mother is the queen of all. Nobody dared try to fall asleep on the couch in the middle of the day. You are guaranteed to wake up 2 minutes later 10 times more tired and 1,000 times more aggravated with my mother.
No.
Like, she is the queen of just, like, I really think she'll watch from afar and start seeing your eyes getting weary, and she'll do, like, a 10 Mississippi when she notices the eyes are completely closed just to come in and go, you sleeping? Sleeping?
I sense happiness. We must stop this now.
There's a disturbance in the force.
Someone.
We must awake the young Skywalker.
Someone is resting somewhere in this house and must be stopped.
She's looking all the way around. She's like banging through the attic. You up here? You trying to sleep up here with a bat? Not on my watch. It's Mother's Day. My day. You don't sleep.
Did she wake you up again yesterday? Yesterday was Mother's Day.
No, she didn't wake me up yesterday. I was just, but after you told me that story, she was so notorious for that. And she is, and I know she, as jokingly aside, she has some kind of powers when she knows you fell asleep in the middle of the afternoon, because she is the one that always calls me on a Saturday afternoon. Like when you remember my old job, when I would do like, 4 days in a row of like 18 hours, barely get any sleep and stressed out like a mofo. And it's just like, oh, thank God I can finally hit the hay. Like I just put on the TV, ready to zonk out 2 minutes in. Some call about, did you see the Facebook post I put up there? God, how do you know this?
Now do you get instantly mad, or do you like, do you try to play it off like, oh, hey, mom? Or are you like, are you kidding me?
I get aggravated, kind of like the grumpy, well, now I can't go to sleep. But like one day she hit me wrong, and I feel bad for this, and I apologize to her afterwards. But I guess she just learned texting.
Right.
So she like texted me something, or she just like a regular, I don't even remember. It was nothing important. I at least remember that piece. Nothing important of this.
Yeah.
And like, again, I'm talking about like maybe 2 hours of sleep a night for the last week and a half, 2 weeks. It's like, all right, whatever. Put the phone down. Mm-hmm. Close the eyes and helps you. Bing. Uh-huh. And this is with a 24-hour job, so I can't just silence my phone. I have to keep it on. And then it's like, so, did you get this? And I'm like, all right, whatever, put it down. Put my eyes to sleep. Hear the phone ring. I'm like, no, I'm not picking this up.
Yeah.
2 minutes later, phone rings again. 2 minutes after, phone rings again. And it's just one of those nuclear reactions. You just swipe the receiver. What do you want? I sent you a text and I wasn't sure if it went through. I was just trying to confirm. Like, I'm hysterical. She's sad. It's one of those things I got to call 2 days later. It's like, all right, that's not me. I'm not a bad child. I mean, I'm a bad child, but this is not one of the main reasons. I'm sorry.
I picture mom getting the wrath of Mike Berlo, just getting the full on grump factor come right through the phone. Her tears slowly rolling down her eye.
I am an SOB and all. I mean, I continued my sort of streak of not sending her Mother's Day gift or her card.
Nice. You're a real nice guy.
I mean, I got the card. Mm-hmm. I got it out of spirit. But I kind of brought this up on the show before. Both, and it's not just my mom. It's my father as well. I am the world's worst person.
Yes, you are. I agree. Cards out. Oh, there's a second part.
I am the best person in getting them. Because as I was cleaning out my back room in New Jersey, I found literally 7 Father's Day cards and 6 or 7 Mother's Day cards as well. So like 14 in total of like endless, I got it.
So really,
but I forgot to mail it.
Even if you got your act together like for half of that time, you would be good for the next 14 years. Like even if you were like, I'll send a card this year. I did it. And then you forgot the next year by mistake. You'd have years worth of excuses. You don't have to go to the store ever again.
Yeah, it's endless. And the sad thing was, like, as I told a wife, I'm like, I got to go to the store to get a Mother's Day card. She's like, why don't you just use one of the ones that you have? I'm like, I have no idea where these cards are at.
It'd be funny if you're like,
if I knew where they were at, I probably would remember to send them one of these days.
It'd be funny if you were like, I don't know, the message in the card, I'm not feeling... That is, it's not, maybe like if you were like so hypercritical, you're like, that's why you don't send them. Like, that was last year's message to mom. They've really changed since last year, you know?
The relationship, it just morphs into something more positive than I love you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think this one has a joke about the Y2K bug in it.
But honey, all your cards have Garfield on them. Like, how?
Yes. But that was when Garfield was grumpy about Mondays, and now mom loves lasagna. Way different, Garfield.
You don't know. Totally different. You don't understand my mom. You don't get her. You just don't get her. You know, like,
no.
leave me alone with this. But I'm glad you kept your streak up, pal, of disappointing your mother year after year after year, and then you yell at her on the phone. You're like, you're like a great son. You know that?
Yeah, I was the third one out, so, you know, I mean, the last one is always the worst one, you know?
I feel like the last one's like, he'll be all right. Like, they'll figure, like, they messed up, but, you know, they'll find their way. And I feel like the parents are like, we're done. we don't need to, you know, he'll figure it out. We, you know, whatever he does is good enough for us. Where I feel like the first one is like... hypercritical, and the middle one's always got to like find their way and kind of figure out what the hell's going on. So,
yeah, and add to the kind of story, I was the third child, and I was on it after an 8-year break. Like, sister was born, I think like a year later, brother was born, huge break, and then all of a sudden they go, let's go for it one more time.
Yeah, they told you they went for it. You might have just been
questioned that. Believe me. Now, like my dad always says the story, like my mom begged him and begged him for one more, and he said okay, and they're all happy and all that. But I'm still like, yeah, it sounds good.
They might have been. They might have just came out at home from the movies, maybe had a couple beverages and little.
This was the 70s, you know. I mean, they were having crazy stuff. I mean, adult films were in regular movie theaters in them days, so you don't know.
Yeah, you might have been made in a movie theater.
Yeah, you know, like. I could have been. You know, they went in, and I think actually my dad once told me like when Deep Throat came out and it was in the movie theaters, he went with my mom and my grandma, my mother's mom, which is still one of those. Really?
Wait. It was like, this new flick here. It's either Return of the Empire Strikes Back or this movie called Deep Throat. Like, you guys interested? Come on, Grandma. Bring Grandma. She'll love this. She'll love this.
Grandma, I love you. It's your birthday. I'm going to say.
So, you were definitely some mistake then. I mean, if you're having family outings at at Deep Throat, you might not even be your dad's child. You could have been.
Yeah, you don't know what was in that movie theater. Things could have been flying everywhere. Like, my mom could have sat on the scene like, ew, this somebody poured soda on this seat. But lo and behold, it's like, I'm what?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was the 70s. You're coming out of the 60s. The love, you know, free love and spirit. Like, you, there's a good chance that you're just either not your... not your dad's child, is what I'm saying. You might be someone in that Deep Throat movie theater. It's very dark in there. It could have been anybody. Could have been one of grandma's friends, for all you know.
Every, like, year, like, on my birthday, my dad would drive by the movie theater and just stick his fist out. I hate you, Cinema Six. Look what you did to me.
See, I think it'd be funny if every year he's like, you know what day it is, guys. We got to go to the porn theater today. You gotta, family outing.
Dad, we have to be quiet. Now call your grandmother and fight her.
Is your nephew Mikey coming? Did he turn 10 yet? It's time for him to become a man.
Daddy, I really don't understand this. You will like this, and you will make this a tradition.
Yeah, well, the good old Buckaloos, the good old Buckaloo horse thieves. There's a lot of untold stories in that family tree, you know.
But, yeah, maybe we should bring back Unsolved Mysteries and just do a docuseries on the Buckaloo family.
Yeah.
Just figure out everything that went wrong after that one day in Europe when they stole the wrong horse and like, all right, we got to get out of here.
Or when your dad stole genetically engineered peaches or whatever they were. Where were they?
It was nectarines. What's the one that's like, nectarines. It's the... it's a peach and a plum that they cross breed. I want to say, or maybe an apricot and
one day after we went to Deep Throat, I got a little crazy with the fruit, and you guys know how nectarines are born. Yada yada yada. You know. But
when you look down and see your furry things between your legs, you know where that started from. Old Daddy Burlew experimenting with fruit and
old Hank the Tank over here getting it done. But I guess if we're gonna go from one family, we might as well bring on our guest and go to another family.
All right.
You know, we're gonna go from the Buckaloos to the Buckleys. Okay, we are once again going down to Australia. Okay, and we are going to get a band by the name of the Buckleys to come on. They are they're young. I believe they're probably nowhere near north of 25. All of them. I don't know exactly their age, but they're brother and sisters. They formed the band, and they're really getting bigger and bigger in Australia. So we're going to call down to them, see how the pandemic's going down there, see about their new album, and kind of get a little idea about their music. So let's get the Buckleys on the line.
Hello.
Hello. Is this Sarah?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Sarah, Molly, and Lachlan.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Evening.
Hello. Hello. Who's on it? Is Scotty on here? Scotty and Michael, is that right?
Yeah, I am Scott. That is Mike Scott. There.
It's Mike.
Can we call you Scotty? We I don't know why. We just have an urge to call you Scotty.
I mean, you know, it's fine. I mean, I did have this coach in high school, my freshman soccer coach, who called me Scotty all the time. It used to drive me crazy. But I mean, if you want to inflict those kind of feelings on me, that's fine. No big deal.
Scott, I'm going to call you Skittles during this interview. Okay?
That's fine.
Fuckers, and we'll call you Scotty. Long time fans already.
You can call us whatever you want. But guys, thank you for giving us a few minutes here. I don't know what's going on here, but lately we have had, I think this is our third or fourth interview, Mike, in Australia in like the last 2 months. So I'm guessing we're just massive in Australia, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Guys, I'm having a hard time hearing all of you. Like, I hear some of you. I don't know if there's a way to get maybe closer to the computer, maybe, or mic, or...
That should be... Is that better here now?
That's definitely better.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go.
Awesome.
Yeah, sorry. I don't want to do the interview and not be able to hear anybody, and the sound sucks. But, guys, So again, thanks for coming on. So we've been asking every guest just because of the times that we're in, and it was interesting because a couple weeks ago we had Eliza on from Eliza and the Delusionals, and she's, you know, they're from Australia, and they had just they were just about to start an American tour and had to really rush home to Australia, kind of because of what the pandemic was and getting stuck in the United States. How is how's it going for you guys? Give us a little insight at least to what's going on down there, so it at least gives, listeners kind of an idea what's going on in a different part of the world.
Yeah, well, we're in Byron Bay, Australia, so we're kind of out of the city, all the major craziness is going on. So we're very lucky to have, you know, a backyard and stuff.
We're kind of surrounded by farmland.
Okay.
Yeah, but everyone's just staying inside and, social distancing. I don't think it's as intense as it is over there, but
it's still like a very real situation, and I think as many people that can are doing everything they can to social distance and kind of flatten the curve and all that.
So let me ask you, like, where you guys are from, of course, in every country there's different parts of and different kind of mindsets. Where you guys are from, are people generally trying to kind of follow the rules, trying to help one another out, or is there starting to be some kind of pushback? We need to leave the house and we need our freedoms again, because that's what's kind of happening here. You're getting a little bit of both sides going on right now.
Well, I feel like in the US anyway, you guys went locked down before we did.
Australia isn't in lockdown,
we just got like the state like kind
isolation
of,
rules.
Yeah, what we should do, but there's no like rule, like, you know, set thing where you'll get in trouble if you leave the house. But most people I find in like my circles anyway are pretty much staying at home as much as they can.
They're happy. Like, I feel like a lot of people are happy to stay home just to keep everyone.
Because like Mike and I, we do this podcast from two different parts of the country now, really. We Mike moved away about 2 years ago, and we used to do it, you know, in the same room, and he moved down to kind of southern United States, and I'm right outside of New York City. So it's kind of like two different complete mentalities. Like here, it's like everything is locked down because of how bad it is. And Mike, you can kind of speak to how it is for you guys.
Yes, for us, as half the country, the state is serious. The other half is like, you know what? We're going to open up beaches. We're going to get haircuts. We're going to get tattoos. Why not? Mm. Let's get going. Let's see what happens.
It's really scary.
And it's interesting because Mike is from, you know, from where I am, but he has a little bit of the New York and New Jersey mentality, but, you know, he's in a different part where he gets to kind of see both sides of the equation here. So,
it's definitely scary reading about, you know, what's going on in New York, and it's terrible, really. Yeah, really heartbreaking, really.
Yeah, but on a brighter note, guys, we didn't bring you on to be COVID-19 experts, but we did bring you on to talk about kind of your band and the music, and you got some things coming out and whatnot. So we have the three of you on here. So I guess the best way to start for us would be, you know, how did you guys have been kind of around for a little while? You just put out some a couple new tunes and whatnot. Really catchy, kind of hard to explain. Catchy, not quite full pop, but, you know, a lot of cool songs that you would like to play at a barbecue and sing along to and whatnot. But how did you guys kind of get together? Was there one of you doing these songs and recruited the others, or were you guys like the garage band that wrote together? Like, give us the history of you guys.
Well, we are family, so brothers and sisters. So
kind of, we met.
Oh, you're all. I didn't know. Maybe I read this. I didn't know you're all brothers and. Wow. Okay.
They met each other in the living room, Scott. That's how they met.
I didn't know that. I thought you had a couple different members. I didn't know you're all Buckleys.
It was a long time ago. I'm three since the beginning. We've been stuck together, basically.
But we've grown up in a very musical family with instruments at every corner of the house. So we've always been playing together. Our dad was a rock and roll drummer in the 80s and just
a musician, and, you know, his whole life. And, you know, we've had musicians all through our family. So we've just been around music forever. And so it was just kind of the thing that was around, like, you're influenced by anything that you're surrounded by.
Yeah. So very natural progression to pick up an instrument and play together.
Yeah. So we just kind of started, we would bus together and play at our local, you know, jam sessions at the local pubs and stuff when we were, like,
nice.
I think I was, like, 11 years old and younger than that, you know, really little. So then we kind of started just doing it as a proper band, I guess.
Yeah, when we were even younger, we would just be falling asleep backstage. Oh, no, sorry, on the stage at back shows.
Yeah, like next to the bass drum.
Yeah. Now, let me, like, I love the family dynamic. Like, is there, when it comes to, like, a family band, is there a competition of who plays what instrument? Like, who gravitates towards what instrument? Who's the... Who kind of writes the song? Like, how do you guys figure that? Where you're like, okay, one of us has to be the guitar. One of us has to do this. Or did you all kind of gravitate towards something and then kind of pull it together?
Well, I mean, luckily none of us wanted to play each other's instruments. Sarah kind of, I think Sarah even started on the drums, but she picked up the guitar.
I mean, it was all really natural, like we said. Everything kind of just unfolded how it unfolded and still is evolving.
Yeah.
So I started playing guitar when I was about, like, properly playing guitar and really loving writing songs when I was about 11 years old and playing piano.
I was playing bass then, and then I moved on to lead guitar, and I got, like, massive love. And then Sarah was songwriting. Molly, you were playing mandolin and piano.
Yeah, mandolin, piano.
And we all started writing and all that, and it kind of just kept developing.
Yeah, and it's still obviously developing and evolving as, you know, our music tastes grow and what we want to do. Like, with this, we're doing a virtual tour right now with Live Nation.
And that's cool.
We, you know, have the usual band that we play with and, you know, our bass player and drummer. So I just have... bass, basically. So I've been playing bass for the past he's like the newest band member. He's like 12 years old and playing drums with us now for this virtual tour. And
nice.
We have dad joining us on so it's really just one big, you know, family affair.
That's funny, because I definitely knew some of you were related, but then I guess I should have read a little deeper in the description and realized you are all... You're like the Jackson 5 in Australia.
We'll take that. That's nice.
Who's Michael, though? Oh.
Now you've started a competition.
Well, out of curiosity, I mean, as you're playing along together, you're growing up, was there always a plan, let's just stick together and be a band, or did it kind of naturally progress into that field where you were thinking about doing something else, but then you're like, no, we got something tight here, let's try to make a living out of this?
Well, as you said, we just bust and played music together, and we went to this festival called the Tamworth Country Music Festival, and we kind of considered this where we really officially started being a band. We went there and we wanted to busk, so we made mum and dad get us busking permits to busk at this big country music festival here in Australia. I think it's the biggest one in Australia.
Yeah.
And so we went there and we busked, and I think we had to make petrol money to get home.
Yeah, well, we didn't know that when dad got the busking permit... which means we could play on, like, the biggest stage at the Tamworth Country Music Festival. And it was definitely the biggest crowd
at that point that we'd ever played to.
Yeah, it was a few thousand people. And so I think I was 11, 12 years old, and these guys were a little bit younger. Molly probably, like...
I was, like, nine.
9 years old. And so we just, like, wow. got this opportunity to play a massive, massive stage at the Tamworth Country Music Festival. And we just, like, no rehearsals, just jammed. So
with, like, how old are you guys all now? How old are all of you right now?
Well, I am 20.
Okay.
And Molly?
I am, how old am I? I'm 17. Yes, 17.
I'm 19.
Okay, so you guys are very young and still kind of, I'm guessing, like you guys were saying, learning, you know, what music influences you want. Has there ever been a point where, you know, like your father was involved and whatnot, where you guys wanted to go in one direction and he kind of wanted you to go in another? Or has it always been like, hey guys, just figure it out what you want to do and experiment? Like, has it always been supportive, or have you kind of had to fight the old, like, kids versus parents kind of thing?
No, our parents are extremely supportive and right. kind of let us do, like, we're pretty good in the sense we're not that rebellious. So,
right.
yeah, we've always grown up in the house with all sorts of music playing. So there was, like, rock, cool. Funk, but also Dad definitely made sure to show us country music because, like, it's very kind of wholesome.
Yeah, and Dad being a rock and roll drummer from the 80s probably loved, you know, the family values of country music, so steered us in that direction a little bit.
Yeah, and so we kind of loved all the music we grew up with and, you know, had no need to rebel out of it.
But they also give us lots of, they don't really care what we listen to be honest. They're like, just do what you want, do your own thing. And
it's really, we're really lucky to have such supportive parents and, you know, all throughout, because we started playing as a band and playing festivals when we were so young and we really wanted to do it and they never pushed us into doing anything. And, you know, the whole time, all along the way, they're like, you know, if it's not making you happy, let's just stop the whole thing now. But we, you know, we've always been the ones driving it, but had their support, which is just, you know,
it's cool.
So perfect. Very grateful.
Now, I'm kind of fascinated with you being in a country. Like, in America, it's almost a stereotypical thing that country is only liked in the southern part of America. Like, there is no thought of worldwide love of country. I'm just kind of curious about what is the scene in Australia. Is it very much like America country, or does it have different, like, textures or vibes to it?
I mean, it's growing a lot, the country music industry and genre in Australia. So it's not as big as it is, say, in the South. It's more spread out because Australia is so spread out. But yeah, it's definitely growing, and a lot of American country influences. Then you have, you know, Australian country, which is probably a little more traditional. But we've just kind of, like we said, we don't really like to put it in any box. Well, it's kind of developed naturally with this term hippie country. So we listen to so many different genres. From, you know, obviously country was an influence when we were growing up, but then pop and rock and funk and, you know, like a lot of 70s, the Eagles and Fleetwood Mac.
Blues as well.
So we just kind of play music, just whatever's authentic and whatever comes out. And, you know, the goal is to write the best songs, not to write songs of
Right. I was going to say, I listened to a few of your songs. I did, you know, there's like a different vibe to each one, which is cool.
Oh, cool. Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, the goal is just to be authentic, and what people consider it is,
we put out the songs and let everyone else decide where to put it.
So that's the way to be.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, we just want to have fun and really enjoy what we're doing. And so hippie country was kind of the term that developed when I was over in Nashville, and people would ask that question, you know, like, what kind of song are we writing? What kind of vibe do you guys have? And some of the co-writers I would write with, because I would have a hard time explaining it, because it's like, you know, it's country, but it's a little bit funky sometimes, and we have pop and rock and sometimes a bit of bluesy stuff. It's, you know,
to a lot of things.
Yeah, so then people would just say, oh, it's kind of hippie country, and we live in a place called Byron Bay, which is very hippie as well.
Just like hippies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that fits. We're okay with that.
I'm
let's
just
do
walking
it.
Around barefoot in the national.
Yeah.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about.
Now I want to ask you a question. Mike might roll his eyes because every artist we interview, and we've interviewed, a lot at this point. Musicians, writers, comics. But I am fascinated. And if I had time, I would almost start another podcast about people's writing process. Like, I am fascinated by how people write, because, you know, some people, some bands, for instance, are, you know, I'm the lead singer and songwriter. I come up with the songs, and then I bring them to Mike, and I give him his parts. Some people are jam it out and figure out the parts. Other people, they're recording and showing samples to each other. What is your writing process?
Well, I started writing the songs because I've been writing since I was about 11 or 12 years old. And so I've always loved writing songs. So I was the first one that started doing it. These guys didn't really early on have a big interest in it. So I would just write all the songs we played. And then over the years, they started, developing a love for it.
Our love for music like grew and grew, the more we wanted to create our own music. And actually on our upcoming album, which is coming out on June 26th, we got, like, Lachlan's got some songs on there that he's wrote. Sarah's obviously got a lot. So it's kind of just...
And co-writers in Nashville as well. That's exactly. That's a big part of our songwriting as well.
Because, that was the goal to get to Nashville when we were younger. And so we got there when I was 16 years old. And I've been writing over there a lot since then. I have a whole bunch of co-writers that are really amazing that I love writing with, and then come home and write a lot by myself as well. So it's just, all of it, all of those different components, I think, are really important for us. Co-writing with each other, the co-writing with Nashville writers, and just writing by ourselves. Well, we need all of it, I think.
It's pretty random, We'll either go on our own paths and then come back to each other and then go away again and then come back and then something like that.
That's cool. Yeah. I think that's the most fascinating thing about art and artists in general. It's like there's no one road that gets you anywhere, and so it's always a different take. Everybody does something different. Everybody has a different focus. Sometimes it takes a leader, other times it takes a literally no leader and a whole group to figure it out. So it's pretty interesting.
It is. It's really fascinating. And I often listen to songs like, oh, my God, how on earth did they, like, write that? It's so, it's pretty amazing, the whole art of songwriting. Yeah, magical.
Now, you guys are very young, got signed last year, and you've already been touring throughout Australia and the U.S. When you get all these opportunities, is it something where it's just so natural since you've been playing together all your life, or do you get that kind of fear, like, wow, this got big really fast?
Yeah, definitely, like, the past year really has been, really fast, and a lot of goals ticked off of the list, and it's been amazing. And to have really, like, one of the most important things to us is just, like, having a team that is so amazing and passionate and
people that just really love it and love the music as well
and the journey. Cool. So it's really when we're like, we got nominated for a Country Music Award of Australia this year. And that was, massive, massive. And we had literally been, like, at that that arena the year before that, sitting in the back row watching the awards. And then we were playing on the awards that stage the next year. So things like that, it's just like, wow, it's happened really fast. But it's also been a journey, obviously, and we've been doing it for a long time, so it's just, I think, as long as we're enjoying every part of it, it's pretty amazing.
So it's pretty crazy. We're still like, oh my god, we're doing this is insane. Holy crap. Recording our first album in Nashville,
that's pretty cool. I mean, let me ask you, so you guys you write songs with family, you perform with family, you obviously tour with family, you do interviews with family. How is that dynamic as far as that give and take of being together, being successful together, loving each other, but also how do you balance, like, like if I was in a band with my brother and sister, one of us would be dead. How do
you? Band name would be Scotty and the siblings.
Yeah. how do you guys balance that? That we're a family, but we're also this is our jobs, and this is what we want to do, our dream. So how do you guys balance that dynamic? And I'd kind of like to hear from each one of you on that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of, we've grown up learning to do each other, obviously. So if one of us making the other really annoyed, you kind of know when to give each other space. But it's also like we've worked so hard to build up this band and kind of get to a point like where we are now and just really enjoy it. So it's kind of like none of us want to all of us want to keep playing together, so.
Right. Yeah, and like it's really like I couldn't imagine, and I give a lot of, you know, props to like solo artists that, you know, it would be so hard to be out there by yourself taking it all, and you know, there's so many situations where I think like, how could you do this if you were on your own? And so we're very lucky to have each other go through it all and deal with all the same things.
Cool.
But then
Lachlan, how do you feel?
How do you feel about being in a band with your two sisters?
Oh, I hate it.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is where the band breaks up, right after this question here.
No, it's cool. Basically, whatever, everything that they said.
Yeah, and it can be... Yeah, and we can be really honest with each other in rehearsals. We don't have to sugarcoat anything, so that's another good thing. We can just tell... bad idea, let's move on.
Yeah, I feel like people get more offended when you sugarcoat things because it's like you're being sarcastic.
Yeah,
like, excuse me, just say what you want to say.
Yeah, so it can get intense at times. Lachlan doesn't want to be told what to do by his sisters, that's for sure.
So now with everything going on, I see you guys are going to be doing a virtual tour for concerts. I'm just out of curiosity, is it more easing at the fact that you're at home and it's in a natural environment, or is there anything going on where you're like, it's hard to get that like vibe of a live concert versus being at home doing this?
Well, I mean, we love playing live shows and connecting with people. So it is different,
but it's also a really cool way to kind of work on our stagecraft and really, like, by the time this whole thing's over and we do go out on the road, like, you know, we're going to be really in form, and it's going to be, you know, we're going to enjoy putting on probably even a better show than we would have, because we had all this time to kind of really, really get in tight with each other.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, I guess the whole big thing for us is, yeah, like I said, connecting with people, even though they're here, it's, you know, a time where the world, I think, really needs live music, and it really needs, you know, positivity. So hopefully, I guess the goal for us is, yeah, bringing that into other people's homes. And yeah, I mean, we're doing it all from our lounge room with our family, and yeah, hopefully it's just bringing a bit of joy to everyone that needs it.
Yeah, we just pretend that we're playing to like 10,000 people.
But we're in our kitchen to no one while someone's cooking dinner in the next room. We're like, Mom, please, make it quick.
Mom, keep it down. I'm performing for South America.
Really? Yeah. Fajitas, Mom? Fajitas. On all nights, fajitas.
Yeah, exactly. And it's live, and so our dogs love barking at people walking by, and so when it's live, we're like, oh my god, please just no one come home. Mm-hmm. Like, dogs, please don't stop howling. Gamble. But it's
it happened in some of them, actually. The dogs had a bit of a barking festival.
That's all right, though. It makes it real. Guys, I'm really happy for your success and what you guys are doing, and the fact that you're able to do it as a family is pretty pretty special thing. So hopefully you guys continue being able to do that. If people want to check you out or interact with you or go check out your music, where are the best places for them to go?
Well, I mean, we're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, pretty much all the socials.
Yeah, and YouTube. We have a documentary coming out Friday.
TikTok.
So yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. Yeah, and on social media.
Yeah, and our next show is April 23rd on this virtual tour. We're going to the Middle East and Israel. So
cool.
Check all those. Ah, yeah.
And you guys had the Money video that just came out, and you have a new album. So just tell us when should fans be able to expect that?
Well, the new album comes out June 26th, and we have some other songs coming out before then. Our latest single, Money, that's out, and we're really excited about that one. It was a really fun video to make here in the heat of Australia before all of the, lockdown and social distancing happened. So it's a really fun video, and, has 60s and 70s vibes. So everyone, hopefully go check that out. And, lots of stuff going on. It's really exciting.
That's awesome. Guys, thank you so much for your time, and good luck with everything, and hopefully you'll be out there playing to audiences before you know it. So, thank you, guys. All right, Mike, I don't think they're your relatives.
No, I had my fingers crossed when I heard country. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is a good sign for the Buckley Union.
This is it.
I'm so glad they found love of music meeting each other in their living room, Scott.
Yeah, yeah. That was my bad. I thought two of them were Buckleys, and there was another one, but I guess they're all Buckleys, which is pretty cool. I had a kid in high school. His name was – well, let me change his first name like I did for that one episode. Let's call him Kevin. Rob Buckley.
Oh,
his name is Rob Buckley. And he was like, you ever, meet someone that you feel bad because they're a nice person, but they're so boring that it physically hurts you to be around them? It's literally hard to spend time with them.
Yes. I've had coworkers like that where it's just, and it's the conversations is always the awkward when you're in the middle of something. It's just like, oh, God, you're trying to chat with me.
This guy, Rob Buckley, like I would say, Rob, like it's inserted, like voiceover. He was like so boring, and he would make jokes and then just laugh at his own joke. Like he'd be like, yeah, Scott, like maybe I'll call you Scotty. You almost like were willed into giving that fake smile too, which is almost the worst, even worse than talking to him, is the worst fake laugh. Like that's almost that's the hardest thing to do.
Like when you're in a room together and you're all looking at each other, it's like, all right, one of us have to be nice to this person. And
well, it's like, yeah, maybe in like goofy freshman year and sophomore year that works. But When you meet him at your friend's wedding, like 20 years later, and you were 36 years old or whatever, and he's still doing the same thing, you're like, oh, God, Rob. I can't be by you. My tolerance in high school was a lot more than it is now. Like, I can't be around super boring people.
Like, you need a lookout at all times. Like, listen, Rob is going to be here at some point. He's going to try to corner me.
Rob the glob. He's globbing on.
I need you by my side. Like, honey, I need you within arm's length where I'm like, Rob, have you met my wife? Or, Rob, have you talked to my third cousin, Derek?
I've saved people before at comedy shows. Sometimes, like, audience members will get two, they'll have a couple, and then they get too attached to a comic after the show, like, hey, Mike, you were so funny. Do you know blah, blah. I have a brother-in-law. He does comedy. He's so funny. Oh, yeah, why do you do? Like, and I've saved, I could think of at least three where I'll be like, I'll see them. So, like, the person's back is towards me and their face. And I'll be like, hey, Berlu, the guy up front wants to take a picture with you. And he said you have to sign something or whatnot. He's leaving now. And then, like, we'll get him and put him aside. He's like, thank you so much. Like, I have picked up on that over the years, how to save a friend from the awkwardness.
Like, that person is always the one that says, my friend said I should be in comedy. How do you get into comedy?
Yeah.
No, dude, tell me every detail humanly possible, and I'm going to comment with the most boring way humanly possible.
The best is, like, when they're like, one time I saw Sebastian Maniscalco. He's so funny. You ever worked with him?
You know him?
You know him? Oh, he's so funny. Yeah, I know. He's really funny. No, I never worked with him. Kevin Hart, he's really funny, too. Like, oh yeah, yeah, he's really funny. You know, just naming comedians like, oh, you know, like, do you guys go like to concerts and wait for the band to come out and be like, you ever hear of Aerosmith? Like, they're wonderful. Like, you ever play? Like, no. For some reason,
you play so much guitar. Do you like guitar?
I think it's because it's comics that are like telling personal stories and like their job, quote unquote, is to relate to the audience that they feel like they are completely in line with the comic and like they can just talk to them about anything. So
maybe comics should keep that light with them. As you and I know, the light that says, okay, we have to wrap it up. Mm-hmm. Like, there should be a universal thing where you could just turn on a light to boring people and be like, all right, wrap it up.
Yeah, a fan light.
10 minutes are over with.
Well, it's funny because now I'm like, the last comedy show I did, you know, a lot of times it's kind of custom to, not custom, but hang out as people leave and say, hey, thank you so much for coming. Handshake, handshake, handshake. The last one I did, me and the one comic were like, ooh, we got to like, go wash her. I wonder if that's pretty much a thing of the past, I think. I'm not shaking your hand anymore.
No. It's going to be elbows or ass slaps. That's it.
Bows. Bows, I think. You know, arigato.
Nah, because if I give a bow and somebody doesn't give me a bow back, then I would be, like, vengeful, angry.
See, Mike, I get pictures of someone bowing to you and you bowing to them, but coming down too fast and just headbutting the back of their head into the floor. Oh. I can see that happening.
Me and my wife, I think we have a 5 week of at least once a week in the bed, like, doing something. Like, I'll be playing with Callie, and she'll move her head and just whack, and it's just like... We'll just look at each other like we're angry and we know we don't blame the other, but still at the same time, you can't get rid of that anger for the first couple seconds.
Yeah. The pain hurts too much. But
it's not even the pain. It's just the aggravation. It's like, why would your head down there?
Well, guys, go check out the Buckleys. All right, Mike, I'm thinking the Burlews, since you guys are all kind of close together now, you're closer and closer, mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking it's never too late for a family band.
Hmm.
You know?
It would be interesting. Get Grandma. Still here, so.
Get Grandma out of the Deep Throat Theater, tell her to, you know, get on the drums and, you know, get... it'd be a good way to, like, and then there'd be, like, the untold stories, like, where did Mike Burlew come from? No one knew. Everyone else, like, was a family, hold on to a family secret, and then you find out, like, how you were born and what your mom was into and why she does not like you sleeping. Maybe there's a story back there.
Mm. I kind of imagine, like, my parents having a station wagon and... My dad and my mom are in the front seat and grandma's in the back and they're just singing some kind of like latest doo-wop song as they're getting ready to park to go see Deep Throat and, you know,
right.
Get himself in a joyous mood before they go into movie theater. And just, I mean, that could be the basis for our band.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys could do like a, maybe get on the opening act for the Buckleys, and the Buckaloos, tour the country, document it all, get a crew that follows you around. I'm sensing big things in the Burlew family.
Yeah. I mean, if The Undertaker has a docuseries and Michael Jordan has a docuseries, clearly.
Yeah.
I'm in line for one of those.
Yeah, like, what has The Undertaker done that you guys haven't? Like, why, you know, he doesn't deserve airtime.
Hey, I never lost at WrestleMania. He's already done it twice.
There you go. There you go. I mean, you never won either, or...
Schematics. Schematics. Come on now.
What do you got?
So, Scott, I feel I've come full circle with Bigfoot people.
Really? All right, you're going to have to give our audience some background knowledge on that.
So here's our timeline. So super early days of Verbal Shenanigans, trying to find guests for the show.
Mm-hmm.
I came across a Bigfoot gentleman who also...
A big-footed gentleman? Like, who had large feet?
No, no, no. Not like, a big-footed gentleman. A gentleman who's into...
Like you weren't at the store and creepers. Like, wow, sir. You got some dude, large
those
feet.
Size 14? Come on my podcast.
I have a podcast. You have big feet. Want to talk?
So. And that was the father of the Sprint girl. he was a part of people who were finding Bigfoot, and he also had a side job where he tried to find missing children. So I contacted him via email, just, you know, our usual spiel. Hey, we're Verbal Shenanigans. We'll be really interested in hearing about your Bigfoot excavations, as well as your work with trying to find missing children. And I guess this guy took it the wrong way, maybe read into the Verbal Shenanigans too much, and basically told me, I don't find missing children funny, I decline.
It'd be great if you went back and forth with him on how funny you think missing children are. Like,
No. Check this out. So the parents are just like, well, one down. At least we don't have to pay for college.
Oh, my loved kid, where is he? Oh, what an idiot. Lost my kid.
Yeah, so here's the premise. So they have triplets. And the father comes home and says, honey, say hi to the twins. And then when the mother questioned him, he's like, no, we always had twins. And he keeps on acting up, not knowing that his child was kidnapped.
What we really like to do with the people we interview is really rub it in that they can't find their child. We call them, we call them and pretend that, hey, we got some info on your kid. And then we really go, no, we don't. Your kid's missing.
Ah, you got shenanigans.
Your kid is missing. We really like to go deep on that.
Yeah. And I even, in all seriousness, I tried to go back to him and be like, no. We got a comedy show, but we do serious interviews, blah, blah, blah. Never responded. Didn't even care. I think I even made the joke that to you that I hope all the missing children is with Bigfoot. So, like, Bigfoot can call him and just be like, oh, I don't see what the problem is. If you just found me, you'd get the other answer.
Where you been?
Little Johnny's been looking for you. You're just hanging in the cave with me. But so we had a little journey trying to get something. Then episode 293, we had Cliff Berrickman. Yep. Great interview. Great discussions about everything. Talked about his adventures. Talked about him looking for Bigfoot in New Jersey with Bobcat Goldthwait.
Right.
Fun little thing to talk to.
Two episodes ago, I believe, right? Yeah, two.
Yeah, 293. Yep. So we get the show, and, you know, what I generally do for our episodes to kind of get the word on the show out there is I'll go into the different Facebook groups and, you know, help promote the episodes.
Revolutionary.
Yeah,
Did you ever think of doing that on your own, Mike?
I'm an originator. I just want to tell everybody I copywritten that idea. So if you put your podcast in a Facebook group, I'm coming to sue you. I mean, clearly I'm the innovator. You know,
absolutely.
I was there with when they were creating Facebook. I'm like, listen, down the road, podcasts. In that group.
That's how you... Bam! That's how you... You know, people don't know, but that's how you helped Rogan's podcast grow so much.
Absolutely.
You never get enough credit for that.
He tried, like, Reddit and MySpace. I'm like, Joe. Yeah, here's your boy. I told you how great news radio was. Now I'm going to help you out.
Joe, I got a little idea. We'll just promote this a little bit before you know about beep, bada boop, biggest podcast ever. Go ahead, Joe. Just put your trust in me. And to this day, you don't get enough. You don't get enough credit.
Hmm. So, going back to my story, so I joined a few Bigfoot groups to help promote the podcast.
Oh, I hope it's like a Bigfoot, like people who are like into feet and like a foot fetish group. Like, we're into big feet.
No. That was for Jamie Lynn Watson, the sprint intern. That's the one I went on that one.
That'd be great if you're like, I'm here to show you guys my podcast. And like, well, show us your feet first, bro.
All right, but you are going to listen, right?
We need them downloads.
Five times before, and I'm not going to do it in this sixth group. But, so I put it out there,
right,
and a lot of good responses. Kind of show you what the world is like. A lot of people were positive about our guest, and one guy weirdly gave me the angry face and shared it and said this guy couldn't find Bigfoot in a cage. I don't know what his vendetta is with Cliff.
All right.
But, you know, it's out there. But, so Scott, while I was doing that, I got a message from somebody.
Oh, all right.
And let me go through the messaging right here.
Yes, I'm in.
So
this is like Bigfoot drama right now, like in the Bigfoot world. Yeah, so this is, you're cutting
edge. So this guy goes, "Where did you find this question mark? I am the Georgia Bigfoot YouTube channel."
Oh,
and so he just put that there, and then he's like, "I mean the teepee, LOL." So at first, I didn't get anything after that. So I'm like, "Okay, that's
what did he say? I need the teepee."
I mean the teepee, and I'll show you the next response.
Okay.
Let's see. Can you see that picture?
Yeah.
Do you notice who that is in the picture?
Is that your wife?
That is my wife. Yeah. That is a picture on my Facebook profile from last year.
Wait. So he sent you a picture of your wife in front of like a wood, like branches that resemble a teepee.
Correct. Wow. And then he goes, "I searched Georgia and Ohio mainly, but also Colorado. I found a ton of teepees, and they are in my videos. Trying to message you here. Thanks for accepting the request." So.
Okay.
So I'm low.
So what's your reaction? Like your reaction, you get a picture of your wife sent to you.
It's getting me a little. It's one thing to go on my profile, but it's another to be digging until 2019 to find a picture.
Yeah.
Find a picture with my wife.
Right.
And admitting to say, "I found this picture."
But a little strange. A little strange so far.
It's a little strange, but I decided to play it off cool.
Yeah.
I answered him. Okay. I said, "That was in Knoxville, Tennessee, IJAM's Nature Center." And he's like, "Sweet. Not too horribly far. I've concluded the ones that make the teepee are way more friendly to humans."
So he's telling you that Bigfoots make those teepees.
Correct.
All right.
And he says, "And yes, I have had interactions and sightings." So trying to play it off, I'm like, "Oh, sweet." Right. "About how many encounters have you had?" He's like, "Sightings? I've had seen a total of 6 interactions countless. They know our interactions, making it a deal breaker to try and film them." And then I kind of zone out. I'm like, "Amazing. They are amazing beings."
That reminds me of when we were interviewing a guest that was not the most exciting the other week. And you were just like, I looked at you and you were just like, he finished his question. You're just like, "Fantastic, fantastic." And then I messaged you as we were doing the interview. I'm like, "You have no idea what he just said. You just gave him a fantastic, didn't you?" And you're like, "Yeah, I have no."
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah.
We won't go into details, but I completely zoned out. I had my next question ready. I had no idea. I could have literally asked him, "What's your name again?"
It was the best. You were just like, fantastic. Now I hope someone like finds that interview a couple weeks from now and is like, I found what you meant.
If you figure it out, tell us and we'll send you a t-shirt.
Yeah.
So he goes, "So I filmed the tree structures. Mainstream completely denies the overwhelming evidence. Never makes TV. My YouTube channel is swept low on subscribers because what I am selling is the truth. And for free, and have not made a dime. It is also so people who look for it can find the truth out.
So, another guy just putting the truth out there, man. I mean,
yeah. What do you? And I appreciate it because you will see on my I gave him a thumbs up.
Ah, nice blue thumbs up. Like, what else? Yep. You know, what else could he want?
So, yeah. So eventually, YouTube will just delete it. So for now, it's there. I'm changing my YouTube channel to teaching and no longer playing stupid. Just sharing why I did it. I debated it for a long time. So now I'm at a point I'm like,
this guy's just giving
me. I'm just continuing for my own enjoyment. So I'm like, I hear you. Have to do what's best to get the truth out.
The truth. Bring us the truth, Bigfoot Man. Give us the truth and set us free.
And he responds, please just don't care to know the truth is the problem. I'm sharing with you based on gut feeling. I'm usually correct. So I go, well, I appreciate you sharing this info. And then he ended with, what I have experienced cannot be bought. And it has been an amazing ride.
This is where you should have hit the brakes, seen if I was around, and just be like, you ought to call the show, and we should have got this whack job on the show and just seen what the hell he's talking about. All right.
Now you're tempting me.
We are. We can do this right now, Berlo. We can do this right now. All right.
Let me try to find a YouTube channel, because my one thing was, I'm like, well, you never really told me your YouTube channel, but let me try to find Georgia Bigfoot
YouTube channel. So that's where he left off the conversation?
That's where it completely ended.
Okay.
Now, so,
what do you think he's trying to get from you?
It's sounding like he's lonely and he needs a friend. Brutal honesty.
Well, it's time for you to step up, bud. Get out there and if he's got the Georgian Bigfoot page, maybe maybe you and him should be out there hunting Bigfoot. You don't need this show anymore, bro.
Well, listen, I got responsibilities here in the house. I can't just be going out there trying to find Bigfoot. I got to make a living, you know. And, I got a very tight schedule. I get off at 5:30. I do my exercise at 6 o'clock. I usually got to make dinner. Mm-hmm. Then it only gives me 2 hours to find Bigfoot in Georgia. I don't think that's enough time.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's plenty of time, considering people have spent their lives and we still don't have one reliable piece of footage of Bigfoot. Maybe all you need is 2 hours.
I'm trying to find Georgia Bigfoot. Okay. Okay. He has 136 videos, 1,200 subscribers.
Okay. Okay. No, that's not too shabby. There's a lot of Bigfoot people out there.
Let's see. Bigfoot's Bamboo Bayou.
That just sounds like some crappy restaurant down the street from you. Come to Bigfoot's Bamboo Bayou. Half price drinks. Drink them right out of a foot.
And I'll bring those little small foots with you because we got the kitty meals for you.
So to recap, you have pissed off the Bigfoot community. You have scheduled a
very interesting guest on the show.
Kind of has,
and now the Bigfoot community has found a way to piss me off back.
Right. So the Bigfoot community is now reaching out to you. So you are no longer, maybe Berlo, maybe what you're not realizing is maybe over these years, you've been kind of building a subtle Bigfoot following, and they talk about you and they listen to the show. And, you know, since that time you pissed them off about missing children, they've been kind of waiting for their opportunity to strike back. And then you bring on Cliff, the controversial Cliff, who couldn't find Bigfoot in a cage. And they're just up in arms. They're having their Bigfoot AA meetings every week. They're meeting out in the middle of the woods, discussing you. I don't know, man. Maybe you've done too much.
Maybe in a weird way, I am their technical Bigfoot. As in, like, people talk about, no, I've heard the Berlo. I was speaking to the Berlo. Man, you crazy. There's no evidence that the Berlo exists whatsoever.
So they're just...
No. Look, I see jogging tracks here. He was jogging here a few weeks ago. Man, anything could have made those jogging tracks. Not the Well, you think a burloo's just jogging by here in Georgia?
I had footage of him napping, but then his mom woke him up, and I couldn't get him.
He let out this big roar and scream, and he scared away his mom. And then she ran crying to his her husband, who had to calm her down by bringing her and her mom to a porno. It just keeps going full circle.
It's really weird down here, man. It's really weird. So, yeah, maybe we should iron it out and get this Bigfoot weirdo on the show one day.
I'm trying to see. He's got like he's one video. He got 2,700 views. Wow, here, right. Georgia Bigfoot proof of intelligent beings.
Wow. Well.
So.
I don't know. I guess we'll just leave it on a cliffhanger as far as where the Bigfoot Burloo saga comes. I picture him like with pictures of you on the wall and pictures of your wife on the wall and pictures of Bigfoot and him just staring at them, waiting to get in touch with you. I think you might be a Georgian celebrity, and maybe the two of you should do a Burloo Finds Bigfoot show for us and report back.
Is the mystical being that has a southern accent yet comes from the north? He defies logic every time. He'll sound smart for one sense, and then six in a row just goes the other way.
Every once in a while, he murders a sentence, and he just goes with it. He just goes with it.
And then if you question it, he'll try to just change the conversation.
Sometimes
if you want to lure him in, what you got to do is put a mirror out in the woods and hear his cry, "Don't mess with me. Don't mess with me.
Mess with me." Well, Burlo, I think on that note, it's time to go. We'll save a little bit for Monday's episode, but we got a lot of really interesting guests coming on the show. We are backlogged with guests. We have at least 7 guests on the schedule. So we had a lot of Verbal Shenanigans coming to you, a lot of episodes on their way. So, Burlo, anything to promote before we go? My Georgian Bigfoot channel.
I'm guessing on there next week. You know, now, don't tell anybody. I promised him I would keep the secret. I will promote our local brewery here, Hixton Brewing Company. They just came out with their first spiked seltzer. It's the first seltzer I've actually liked. Nice. We kind of joked about on the podcast. I usually hate seltzers because they're all salty. But if you're in the area, they have one that's called the Pineapple Squirrel.
Burloo salty seltzers. Come get them while they're salty.
So many business ideas, so little time.
No.
But absolutely delicious. They're putting out crowlers right now. I got a crowler upstairs that I'm going to enjoy later tonight. The craft beer, I've been there several times. Great community. When this all settles down, they have live music Friday and Saturday night right in the strip in Billerica, Georgia. Check out Hixton Brewing Company.
All right, I'll stick in that same vein. Because I was delivered a gift from a local brewery. And they just started up about a year and a half, 2 years ago in Denville here, which we are also part of Denville Radio, so I'll keep it local. They are called Fort Nonsense Brewing. And they're kind of they're kind of like an upstart brewery, and they got some good stuff out there. Like I said, I received a nice present with 2 glasses and 2 4-packs, and got some good stuff, and they're growing. So go check out. And during this time, they are delivering locally, and you can still grab their beverages. So if you want to support local breweries, which you should here in New Jersey, go check them out. That's Fort Nonsense Brewing. So, guys, we got a ton of stuff coming up for you. I think... as we make our way to episode 300, Mike, I think we have, hopefully we have locked in a pretty special 300 episode. But until then, you're going to have to listen to
Georgia Bigfoot guy. You got it.
Yeah. Until then, you're going to have to listen to numerous other really interesting guests. So please subscribe, please review, and most of all, please share this podcast with your friends. Brother, you got something real quick before we sign off?
No, I do the intros. I don't do outros.
I thought you were. It looked like you had a piece of information to share with me. Like you had something.
And then now you startled me. Now I'm worried that I'm going to have to figure out something in the next 5 seconds, which I probably won't be able to.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Cincinnati.
Okay. Life is funny, people. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. And the first person to respond to this will send you signed pictures of Mike's wife.
What? I can't get you off of my mind 24/7 all day, all night. Yeah, you got me feeling something like Hollywood big screen on cloud nine. Got my pulse racing like a 747. Only place I'm going is in your direction. I can't even tell you why.